Your dialect mapping instincts were also correct if you gave some cities their own dialect labels. New York City does count as its own dialect area, and so does Pittsburgh. New York is traditionally associated with R-dropping, and like Boston, it gets its share of stereotypes, like Toity Toid Street for 33rd Street. New York City English is also characterized by lots of words derived from Yiddish, like schlep and chutzpah, and words from the original Dutch colonizers, including well-known place names like Brooklyn and Harlem. Pittsburgh has its own version of y'all, which is yins, unique pronunciations like downtown for downtown, and words it doesn't seem to share with any other U.S. dialect, for example, gum band for rubber band. As we move westward throughout the U.S., the Midland dialect area fans out into a large western dialect area, though the north remains intact through the center of the country and the south spreads through Texas. There are also some recognizably distinctive dialects on the west coast. So if you labeled California as a dialect center on your map, you're right again. Dialectologists also mark out Portland English in the Pacific Northwest. It's also true, as we thought, that certain regions and cities have to be separated out from surrounding dialect areas. For example, Florida, Charleston, and New Orleans, each of which is too linguistically distinctive to just throw it in with the rest of the South. And finally, we need to bear in mind that dialect lines and lines between languages are not political lines. There are parts of the far northern U.S. where a more Canadian brand of English is spoken, and parts of the southern U.S. where Spanish holds pretty much equal footing with English. Okay, so the American English dialect map has lots of labels for place names, regions, subregions, and cities. But did you put any other types of labels on your dialect map? What about qualities like good or bad, correct or incorrect, fast or slow, or standard versus non-standard? What about language varieties associated with things besides region, like education level, social class, ethnicity, gender, or age? Are these considered to be dialects too? And just how different or noticeable does a way of using language have to be for it to be labeled a dialect? Chances are, when you labeled your dialect map, you made some value judgments. In popular perception, some ways of using language are better than others. We learned in school that it's better to use standard English than to speak a dialect. Standard English is logical and correct, but dialects are illogical, incorrect, even broken, and we shouldn't use them. So for many people, a language is structured sort of like an upside-down tree. The standard language is at the top. It's the best language, the real version of the language, and dialects branch off from there. They're lower down, and they're derivative. They're not as good, not as complete, and they lack the rules that keep proper English proper. It turns out, though, that the popular view of how languages and dialects work is inaccurate. There are different ways of looking at language. In grade school, we're taught to think of language as a list of do's and don'ts. Don't use double negatives, do say he and I, not me and him, and whatever you do, don't say ain't. This approach to language is known as a prescriptive approach. It's focused on rules for proper usage that have been prescribed for us and codified in grammar books. But there's another view, a descriptivist approach. Using this approach, we study what people actually do with language, regardless of what prescribed standards hold. But why would we want to take this approach? Should we actually study what many of us think of as bad English along with proper usages? Well, yes. If we approach language not as grammarians, as guardians of proper usage, but as scientists, as linguists, then we need to study human language as it really is, not how we think it should be. It's the same with any other field of scientific inquiry. When we study physics, we don't consider what the pull of gravity ought to be like. We study what it is. The difference between descriptive and prescriptive views of language is a lot like the difference between the study of psychology and the study of manners. In psychology, we study how people think and behave. When we learn manners, we learn what behaviors are socially approved. Linguistics is a science, just like psychology, so linguists study how language is actually used. And this means studying language in all its variety, studying as many languages and dialects as we can, not just major world languages or standard English, but also dialects like Southern English and African American English and working class New York City English. And again, this is just like any other science. We can't study geology without studying all kinds of rocks, igneous, sedimentary, metamorphic, or ornithology without studying all types of birds. Again, linguists who focus specifically on variation are called sociolinguists, because we focus on language in its social setting, whether across geographic space, across cultural groups, across different individuals, or even within individuals, across different interaction types, or even different moments in a single conversation. When we approach language study as sociolinguists, when we study language variation systematically, scientifically, we find that the popular view of dialects as subordinate to standard language just doesn't hold up. So instead of a hierarchical chart, a descriptivist sociolinguist view of language looks like a pie chart. Standard English doesn't sit on top, it's just one slice, arrayed alongside every other variety of the language, including Southern English, African American English, working class New York City English. In other words, our varieties are equal. Granted, they may not be socially equal, but they're all linguistically equal. To linguists, the term dialect is simply a neutral label to refer to any variety of any language. It doesn't matter what the social label might be, standard or non-standard, regional or social, unusual, exotic, quaint, or just normal. Dialects are not derivative or deficient. They're full-fledged, intricately patterned systems, just like the standard. They're equally capable of expressing any concept, thought, or emotion we need to convey. And believe it or not, they all have rules, whether or not they have rule books or written grammars.